Hi, I'm Roxy.
I'm Emma.
Welcome back to the Blue Side Podcast, the podcast of the Science Communication Society at the University of Cambridge.
Yes, so we have a new host today, as you can hear. Perhaps, Roxy, do you want to introduce yourself briefly before we start the episode?
Sure. So I'm a first year biological natural science student at Queen's College, Cambridge.
Great. So this is our second kind of Cambridge Science Festival bonus episode, I guess. So today we'll be talking to you two more people who are taking part in this year's festival. So I caught up with Emily Fisk, who's a science communicator at the Cambridge Science Centre. You heard from her in episode 7, where she talked about what the Cambridge Science Centre does.
But first, Emma and I spoke with Hugh Matthews from the Department of Physiology about his upcoming talk at the festival and his interest in public engagement. We are joined by Hugh Matthews, a group leader at the Department of Physiology, Development and Neuroscience, and a fellow at St. John's College. Hugh will be speaking at the Cambridge Science Festival this weekend. His talk is entitled, Now You See Me, Now You Don't, Contrast and Concealment, and will be taking place at 11 a.m. this Saturday on Downing Site. Hugh, first of all, thanks for joining us. It is a pleasure to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here with you.
First of all, would you like to give us a bit of an overview of what you'll be talking about this Saturday?
Well, in a sense, the title of the talk summarises it quite well. I'll be starting off by looking at what vision is actually looking for, then looking at how vision can be tricked, and then moving on to the concealment bit, how both animals and humans who don't want to be seen can use various camouflage strategies to confuse the visual system. So it should be a very colourful and a very sort of illusion-filled talk. What I'm doing with the talk to make it effective outreach is selecting the concepts and illustrating them with visually dramatic illusions. I mean, vision outreach is actually quite easy because you can introduce a concept and then illustrate it immediately with something that the audience actually perceive. So there's an element of, you know, almost showmanship there. To make a good illusion work, sometimes you're deliberately presenting it in a particular context so that the audience are really compelled. And once you've achieved that, you can convey some quite complicated ideas to a general audience, and I think most importantly of all, a young audience, so that you inspire their enthusiasm for science. And that's the most important thing of all.
So your research focuses on how visual and olfactory signals are transduced in vertebrates, and on the role that calcium plays in that process?
Yeah, that's quite right. I'm right at the sharp end of those two systems. They might seem very different, but they're both using similar molecular tricks, though in different ways, to turn an original signal, either light or a chemical that you're smelling, into a neural signal that the brain can be sent onwards to the brain and the brain can process. So my own work is actually very far removed from what I'll be talking about, which is the perceptual end of vision, but it's feeding in all the information that will later on be perceived at the level that I'll be talking about on Saturday. And we'll be joined in the afternoon by a couple of colleagues, one a camouflage ecologist and the other a colleague working on the olfactory system, but a little bit further up the pathway, to look at how these different senses and strategies might link together in a panel discussion with audience involvement.
Oh, sounds great. So I believe we mentioned that before we started recording. This is not the first time you're actually taking part of the festival. You've done quite a lot of outreach in the past, right?
So yes, this must be the third time I've given a set piece talk at the Science Festival. Uh-huh. I gave one last year, mostly on visual contrast, and must be about 4 or 5 years before, visual processing and the sorts of signals that the human visual system, and for that matter the animal visual system, wants to extract from the visual world. Mm-hmm. And also a certain amount for local radio, a few things for the BBC and Channel 5. Bits of this, bits of that. Uh-huh.
Well, so clearly you enjoy taking part in these kind of public engagement events.
I think it's quite important. Uh-huh. It's enjoyable. you have to tailor what you do to the audience and the level of the audience. But again, the lovely thing about the special senses is everybody's using them. So you can aim what you do at audiences from, scientific colleagues at one extreme level, all the way down to 6, 7, 8-year-olds. I was doing a piece, must be a month or so ago, at half term for the Cambridge Science Centre on visual contrast. And the concepts you can leave in, but you obviously simplify and strip away a lot of the actual biological detail. But everybody's got a visual system. We're using it all the time.
So this talk will be aimed at younger audience, is that right?
This, it's been officially advertised at age 11 upwards. I think my experience with Science Weeks is I've been progressively diluting what I put in there. I think, I don't know whether I aimed a little bit high in terms of quantitative content the first few times I did this. I'm deliberately trimming back a little bit on the quantitative side each time, but trying to keep in the excitement, the visual excitement, and the concepts and the illusions, because those are the things that a general audience can respond to especially well. And then if in discussion afterwards, and that's one of the reasons I like to run a panel discussion, I did this in last year's Science Festival also, a little bit after the lecture, is you can then move forwards from what you did in the talk. Because you've established the principles, and if the audience want to explore something in more detail, they have the opportunity then to do just that. I think it actually matters. At the level of the Science Week, it raises general public awareness of science, but also inspires children in the sort of 11 age range upwards is the level I'm aiming at here. It inspires them to take science seriously and makes them realise it's actually rather fascinating. There are lovely problems. It's almost a detective story. I mean, you know that because that's what you do. I know that because that's what I do. But a member of the general public or a school child thinks of science as something you just learn rather than something that's fascinating of itself. At a later level, running taster days within my own college, reaching out, especially to those in state schools who haven't necessarily thought of Cambridge or Cambridge medicine as a direction they'd move in, to make them realise that if they've got an inquiring mind, if they're good at their sciences, they're absolutely the people we're looking for.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, to your point of public engagement being quite important and sort of fostering discussions being important, I think something that I find personally a little frustrating sometimes is this idea that when you talk about, you know, quote-unquote divisive issues, like, I don't know, like vaccination, which is something that a lot of people talk about at the moment, I find that it's often portrayed as this idea that you're kind of picking a side almost, you know, you're choosing, like, a party and you have, like, you're following your argument, which is, like, obviously not how scientists work at all. I mean, and you'll know this very well that when you do science, you know, you come up with a hypothesis and you try and think of all the possible ways that this hypothesis is actually wrong.
Indeed.
And all the other possible ways that you could explain your data, and you'll try and test all of those and see if any of those hold up to the test. But somehow I feel like that's not necessarily actually explained that often, if that makes sense. Like, there's like quite a lot of, I guess, knowledge in the scientific community, which is a little bit taken for granted.
I think that's a very fair point. It's where science moves into the philosophy of science. I mean, I'm also a great believer in Karl Popper and the notion that you put forward your hypotheses to be then tested against reality and potentially falsified in the sense of shown to be wrong. I mean, to put it in a more accessible form, you're exposing your most precious scientific ideas for other people to sink their teeth into. And that's how science progresses forwards. By putting forward what at the time seems a reasonable approach to the data you've obtained so far, and then subjecting it to as many tests as you can think of to destroy it. I suppose that it's harder to convey that in a public outreach lecture than merely presenting what is believed to be so. It'd be a very interesting game to try.
Yeah. It does help to, you know, foster a kind of actual conversation between the scientific community and the general public, because if you only ever talk to scientists, that kind of knowledge doesn't really permeate so much. You know?
Yes, and I think there is also a public confusion between science on the one hand and technology on the other.
Yes.
With technology, you are using the established to achieve some desired goal. With science, in a sense, we're explorers. We're trying to find out what is. Some of it will be useful, some of it will not be useful. Some of it you might think is a jolly good idea at the time, but turns out to be completely wrong. You know, we've all been there, and to some extent, science advances by good ideas being shot down in flames, because you'd have a better idea of what actually is happening rather than what you might have liked to have been happening.
So are there any other events you might want to go to or would recommend?
Within the Science Festival, I would strongly recommend, as a sensory physiologist, a it's an interactive demonstration, an experiment indeed, being carried out by one of my colleagues in the marquee, overlapping with the events on Saturday. My colleague Eliza Galliano, who will be joining us for the panel discussion, will be running what she calls an olfactory cocktail party, where you are testing your olfactory abilities against the previously measured olfactory abilities of a white mouse in trying to detect one odour when mixed up with other odours. It literally is what is, in more verbal terms, called the cocktail party phenomenon, where you're trying to listen to one conversation with lots of other conversations going on around you. So I would say to your listeners, if they want to find out whether their olfactory abilities, their sense of smell, is better than that of a white mouse, come along to Eliza's stand in the marquee outside the front of physiology, and you will be able to do just that and get a certificate that tells you whether you're better or worse than a mouse.
That sounds brilliant. Great.
Yeah, it really does. So, well, best of luck for the talk. Thanks for stopping by.
It's been a pleasure.
So thank you, Hugh, for that great talk. It was great to hear your views on how important it is for public engagement with especially younger audiences.
Yeah, it was really enjoyable discussion, actually, and the talk sounds really cool. So now we just have a quick chat with Emily Fisk, as I mentioned earlier. So I called Emily yesterday to hear about some of the activities that the Cambridge Science Centre is putting on during the Cambridge Science Festival. So here is Emily's interview. On the line, I have Emily Fisk, who is a science communicator at the Cambridge Science Centre. You've actually heard from Emily before, as she was on the podcast a few episodes ago, talking about the work that they do at the Science Centre. So, Emily, hi, how's everything going?
Hi, yeah, really well, thank you. It's been nice to be back on the line with you.
So, have you got anything special going on during the festival at the Cambridge Science Centre?
Yes, so during the week, because it's still term time for us, we'll be busy with schools during the daytime, Monday through to Friday. We are still open after school with our usual after school activities, but the special things we've got on for the week are during the weekend. So the weekends of the 16th and 17th and the 23rd and 24th of March. So we've got more shows and more activities than ever. So we've got a couple of the usual ones, so things like our Recycle for Life and Gums to Bums, so kind of nice usual gallery favourites. We've got a couple of special shows and activities that we normally do for schools. So one of my favourite ones is the Stronger by Design, so learning about man-made materials with a chance to dress up as a firefighter, everyone's favourite part. And also on the 17th, we've got a special Ocean Theme Day. Now this has been kind of curated in collaboration with our volunteers. So we've got a small team of volunteers who've helped design new activities and kind of bring in some new resources for us to kind of use on the 17th. So it's all going to be themed around the ocean, that involve our plankton challenge, creating your own ocean creatures and deciding where in the ocean, where the deep ocean or kind of the higher levels of the ocean they might live in. And we've also got a projector sandbox, which I'm going to play with this afternoon, which is a brand new gadget we've borrowed from the University of Cambridge Geography Department. So we're really excited to be hosting that for the day.
Brilliant. That sounds really exciting. Do you think you'll have time to go to any other festival events, or are you going to be a bit too busy with the...
I'm not down on Saturday, so I'm really tempted. There's so many other things on over the weekend. Slightly competing for attention there, but I'd love to go see a few more. So many other university departments that have got open doors and activities on, so I'd love to go have a sneak peek inside.
Is there anything else coming up at the, just generally anything else coming up at the centre over the next few weeks that you might want to mention, seeing as we have you on the line?
Oh, so because it's term time, we're quite busy with kind of schools and things, but the next big set of events that we'll be doing after the Science Festival will be during the Easter holidays. We're still finalising that programme, so I'd say kind of watch this space and check out the website to see kind of what will happen during the Easter holidays.
Great. Yeah, I think that's everything I had to ask you, so thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Thanks, Emma.
Thanks. Thanks again to Emily and to Hugh, of course, for chatting to us today. It was two really nice discussions and we appreciate your time.
We hope you've enjoyed these episodes about the Cambridge Science Festival. And if you'd like to find out more about the programme, you can find it online.
Yep. As ever, if you want to get in touch with us, we're on Twitter at BlueSciPod. You can also drop us an email at bluescipodcast@gmail.com. And we hope to see you around at the festival. Speak to you soon.
Thank you. Goodbye.